both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com. I'm sitting here with my main man, Jake Smith. What's happening, bro?
What's cracking?
You know, getting my laundry done.
Yeah. Getting the weekend stuff done.
Yeah. You know what I did today?
What?
Fell down my stairs.
Really?
Yeah.
How embarrassing was that?
It wasn't embarrassing. It was painful, man. My neck is killing me.
It was painful.
You know, it was so funny. Like, I grab this laundry basket and I like start walking down. I'm like, man, I hate walking down these stairs with no shoes on. They're kind of slippery. Yeah. And like, I get to like the third or fourth step from the bottom and just they go out. And I'm thinking, all right, it's not that far. Cause I thought I was like right at the bottom, but I wasn't. So my ass hits the fucking bottom stair and I slide down and my whole back lands against the stairs. And my neck whips back. I'm like, man,
did you do the, like the slide there? Like,
no, it was like thump, thump,
thump.
Yeah. It was not good. It hurt.
Well, hey man, I know a guy who's a chiropractic. His name's Mitch Powers out in Vancouver. He actually sponsors me. Why don't you go out to Powers Chiropractic and get that fixed?
I might need to. My neck is killing me right now.
Real quick before we get started, we have to poke at this topic here. There's another podcast out.
And one of your best friends goes on their podcast.
Right, of course. So it's called The Writer and the Kid. So I don't know, man. I almost feel like we might have like some beef here. Like I feel like we might need to like, I don't know, challenge them. Like you're a writer, they have a writer, I'm a fighter, they got a kid. I don't know. I think we might win this one, but
maybe.
So the two similar and then we're all kind of piggybacking off of Brendan Schaub, which I hate. So
yeah, but like at least ours, we didn't try it like entirely try to bite their name. Like we put the writer over, like because they're the fighter and the kid, right?
Yeah.
And so like we went writer up top, and we went writer and the fighter.
Because I am
which
a
first
fighter.
Of all, yeah. First of all, it's more real than the fighter and the kid because
it should be
Brendan Schaub doesn't fight anymore,
yeah.
And Brian Callen is an old fucking man. He's not a fucking kid.
It should be called the. the Joe Rogan podcaster jumping on his back bandwagon and the kid.
Yeah, right.
Like it, I don't know. I actually blocked Brendan Schaub on my Twitter just so I don't see anything he ever posts again because people will like his stuff, retweet his stuff, and it just annoys me the shit he says because he's just gonna switch it later. If you disagree with him and if you're Joe Rogan or anyone else and you disagree with it, says, oh no, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like no, that wasn't.
I pay very little attention to him. He didn't really do it for me, and I can't stand Brian Callen, so I could never listen to his podcast.
See, I got into it because of Callen, and now I don't like Callen either because he does the same hour over and over.
Nevertheless, these guys are the writer and the kid, which is that, you know, let them have their turn.
Which actually, whatever. I'm going on their podcast tomorrow.
Oh, so you're doing it.
All oh, right. No. Well, you know me. I'm going in there G'd up, homie. I'm going in there kicking in doors. I'm letting them know what's up.
Yeah. Well, I will say whoever their writer is, he writes for a lot of people. So good for him.
Yeah, he's actually kind of cool.
Seems like good people, but
yeah,
still
cool. But
kind of funny.
It's fun to have a rivalry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They do video. We do audio.
They don't have a kid, a fighter, though, right?
No, they don't. They have a guy who's – they have a big dude. The kid guy's pretty big.
He's a big kid.
Yeah, he's like I think he owns his own like protein gummies.
Oh, that's fun. Like
a, yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
And I think he has his own gym or something.
Well,
yeah.
They're doing fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're great. They're great people. So
yeah.
But like I said, man, I'm going in there G'd up.
All right, little baby beef.
Yeah,
all right.
But
it's cool. You can promote ours and then more people will listen and that's always good.
Well,
and
they actually talked about us a little bit. I don't know if you know that.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, you didn't see it?
That's good.
Yeah.
No, but good. That's good. And maybe one day we'll be cool enough that Ricky will be like, hey guys, can I come on your podcast?
You know what? I don't know if I want Ricky on here. I'm going to be honest.
That's fine. He would never do my old podcast. Like everybody else would do it, but Ricky wouldn't do it. And I was like, bro, I've been writing about you since your first pro fight. Like really, you're not gonna come on my fucking podcast.
You're on the hype train before anyone else was. That he's not
exactly.
He's gonna come out here and disrespect
what
you.
What a
like
hater!
That?
What a hater!
What a dick, dude. I'm telling you. That's why I've been trying to tell everyone. Ricky Simone is the biggest piece of shit I know. And no one believes me. He got everyone fooled. He's selling wolf tickets, man. And I know he's going to listen to us because he listens to our shit and he fucking messages me on Snapchat talking shit all the time. So fuck you, Ricky. Anyways, let's jump into some fist fights, huh?
Fist fight stuff. All right. All right. Well, let's talk about Till and Stephen Thompson because we have differing opinions on this fight.
Yeah, because I walked in on you and your wife watching the fights, going over some stuff. So
yeah,
this
I just
is all
wanted,
fresh in your mind.
Yeah, I just wanted to review a couple things because I had made mental notes, but I just wanted to make sure that I was remembering it correctly. I generally, if there's a fight that I think is close or a fight that I really like, I'll go back and I'll rewatch it.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back and I'll rewatch it with the volume off. I'll mute it so then I can just see it without the, you know, the impediment from the from the people calling the fight. Because if you have someone, you know, in this fight you have Dan Hardy is on the
commentating team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just
he's a color commentator for the site.
Yeah, but Dan Hardy, I would say generally is not a very biased guy. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't get in there and push for one fighter more than the other, like Dominic Cruz. So
you think Cruz?
Yeah,
does?
Fuck yeah,
he does.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz. If it's his guy, he's so complimentary of his guys. Yeah. Anybody from San Diego, he's just like, these guys are awesome. This look at how good he gets his underhooks in. Just so you guys know, everything's about underhooks, 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 underhooks.
Yeah.
That fucking man, I can't stand him.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
So Dan Hardy's not very biased, but a lot of guys can be, or like Joe Rogan does this thing when he commentates fights where he'll get really fixated on one thing.
Yep.
And he'll just like he can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's doing his job, right? He's talking about what he sees and and that something is glaring to him, you know. So I try to do that when there's a fight like that. But in this case, I've only watched the fight twice, but I actually really enjoyed that fight. I don't know about you, but I thought it was really entertaining. People are hating on it, but I liked it.
I knew exactly what it was going to be going into it, you know. So I wasn't I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't say I was displeased either. Because I already knew in my mind, like, okay, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a cat and mouse game, right?
Yeah.
Tit for tat. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, these two strikers are known for blah, blah, blah. I don't know if people realize the higher competition the fighters are or the fight is, the more boring it's most likely going to be. It's very rare you get two top five fighters that are just like, fuck it, we're gonna create chaos right
yeah
now.
Throw caution, you know what I mean? To the wind.
Yeah, so I knew it was gonna be very, very technical, very you know, I mean, you got to be a student of the game to enjoy that. Like, you can't just be like, I don't think you can be a casual fan and be like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where a lot of the hate comes from in this fight.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, but the other thing is the promoters, you know, so Dana White essentially doesn't like when a fight doesn't go the way he wants it to go in some instances.
Yeah.
And you could tell he's displeased with the way that fight went. But like for me personally, like just watching the two of them, like just trying to set the other one up or see what the other guy was trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, just like feinting to see like, okay, what's his reaction if I do this? What's his reaction if I do that? I really enjoyed seeing it because there was a lot of back and forth in that way. And like there were a lot of times when they'd start having different footwork.
Yeah.
Like there'd be moments where they were both being very springy karate on their feet, you know, wide base. There would be moments where they were both standing a little bit taller and, you know, using more lateral movement there, you know, like, because they obviously both move in and out very well.
Yeah.
I will say Stephen Thompson was way faster than I thought he would be against Till.
Yeah. See, there was a couple things like that. I was watching for when I was watching the fight. One of the things was how Thompson was waiting for Till to take that initial step in. Cause if you watch the way, like every time Till would throw something, he would kind of lift his leg a little bit, his lead leg, and try to penetrate through to like the step in. And right when he'd do that, Thompson would either slip out of the way or he would dart in and catch him. Right?
Yeah, with that right hand that he was throwing.
Which, I mean, he only, you know, caught him, what, like three times like that. But that was kind of something that I found interesting was the timing. That was my thing I was watching for, was the timing of each person. What they were waiting for, like what range were they waiting for to get in? And I mean, they're both lanky guys, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So. I was surprised at how... like we were talking about last week, was how big Till is, and you could see the size on him. Like, he was very big,
giant.
But that you know, that being said, Stephen Thompson has big legs for like a skinny guy. Like his thighs are big, you know, like he's a big boy. But so I thought, personally, I thought clearly Darren Till won that fight.
Yeah,
and you thought very clearly that Stephen Thompson won that fight.
Yeah,
and so I think it's not crazy that either of us feel one way or the other.
It was a close fight. I mean, I honestly, like, I was actually generally pissed off when they said that Till won. I just was like, man, what the fuck?
But what did you see that made you think Stephen Thompson won the fight four rounds to one? So did you give Till the round with the knockdown then? Is that what you gave him?
Okay. Yeah, of course. Obviously. You have to. But so the way I look at a fight is how it's supposed to be scored in the States, you know. Pat Healy, he tweeted out, like, good thing Till did win it because he's the only one that did any damage the whole fight, because he's referring to the fifth round. Well, this isn't Japan, man. We're going by round by round, right?
Yeah.
So when I score, I'm like, okay, boom, I give this 10-9. He edged out barely, whatever. More, you know, maybe the shots were a little bit more crisp or a little bit more flush or whatever. But then it goes to the next round. I don't think about the previous round at all.
You have to turn it off,
right?
You have to score it round by round.
And I feel like a lot of people don't do that with fights because, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I think it's human nature to go, oh, it's a, you know, it's a fight. Well, this, you know, you're supposed to look at the whole overall picture.
I think,
you know,
the way they do it in Oregon is that the judge has to turn in his scorecard round by round, like an individual round scorecard.
Yeah.
And so they turn them in as they go. Whereas in Vegas, they have that like score sheet, right? Uh-huh. So like, man, like if so you see something crossed out, it's a little fishy, but.
Or maybe they, you know, they just didn't put it down the round, or I mean
I didn't look at the scorecards in this fight. I didn't see the like the literal scorecard. I didn't get to take a look at it, but whatever.
Yeah, like I mean, I'm not necessarily speaking on the judges in general. I'm just talking about, you know, people. I feel like they just kind of overall will judge a fight like that.
I agree.
Right?
I'm guilty of it at times.
But you know, I mean, it's right. I mean, Till did have the one knockdown. I mean, you could say, I mean, you're not supposed to say it was 10-8, right?
I wouldn't give it a 10-8.
I wouldn't either. I
think Stephen Thompson was
he got
was
right either, back up.
Well, beyond just getting right back up, I think he was probably winning the round until that knockdown. But the knockdown was like
that was
far the, and away yeah. the most yep. obvious. And exactly. Like, that was the clearest picture of the entire round.
But then when he got right back up, though, too, he straight up like just blitzed him. Bop, bop, bop. Hit him like with a three piece. Do, do, do. That was pretty much it. Then they just stared at each other for like a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can see why it's 10-9 for Till. But I don't know, man. I mean, it was a close fight. I mean, I wasn't there. I wasn't, you know, ringside. I wasn't hearing the sounds of each shot. Like maybe when Till landed or something, it was more of a thud. Like, cameras don't always pick that up. So I'm not too mad about it.
Like now you're not mad about it, whereas before
I was. I was just kind of like, you know, it's hometown. Like there, I think the crowd is playing a fucking.
That definitely plays a factor.
I really think that judges should have to wear like noise counseling, like headphones or something. Like have like I don't know, like Bach playing or something in their ears, because I think the crowd plays a huge part in fights.
Yeah. Well, there's never going to be a perfect world for judges to be in, right?
Because
like, if you're cage side, so the UFC try to implement that thing where judges can have monitors so they can watch the fight. Like realistically, watching the fight on a monitor is a better way to watch the fight than cage side.
Definitely. I mean,
you are missing though, like you were saying, the sound of the punches. You are missing stuff like that, you know. And having sat cage side a lot, like you can definitely pick up on when a guy is hurt, and when a guy isn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear. I mean, you can hear it.
There's things you can see.
Yeah.
In person that you can't see on camera.
Exactly. Yeah. Like how tight is that choke?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like on camera, it may not look that bad, but you kind of bend your head around that corner and look, and you're like, oh, that dude is drooling all over the mat right now because that choke is really tight. But you don't see that on the camera, right?
Exactly. 'Cause
the camera's above.
Yeah.
But like, you know, maybe you put them in an isolated room and make them watch the just the video only, mm-hmm. and like you have someone in there to watch them to make sure they're paying attention, like
something, some, man. There's got to be something.
But it's not like Fort Knox, man. It's still fighting, and you know, so Big John McCarthy comes out online and he's talking about anybody who says that, you know, the following the criteria that Till won this fight because of aggression, or they're crazy because you know, and he's like, he's saying this stuff online, like, oh well, Stephen Thompson clearly landed the harder, more effective shots, and it's like, dude, his shots may have been harder, but there were not more of them. Nick Diaz lands a lot of fucking punches, and there are people that hit harder than him. If someone, if Nick Diaz lands 15 punches and Jake Smith lands 3, yeah, yours were harder, but he still landed more punches than you, and he was more aggressive than you.
Yeah.
He had more control of the cage than you.
Yeah.
Like those things add up, and whether you do it in order or not, so it's effective striking, grappling, aggression, and octagon control, right?
Yeah.
And they go in that order. That's the order of importance, quite literally, when they when they train a judge. But like, aggression is still the third most important thing, and Darren Till was, to me, was way more aggressive than Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, he was way more aggressive.
And like, so this is what bothered me about that fight more than anything. So come the second round, Darren Till, he starts to set up his jab, and like, he starts to set up in the second round. It was like he threw like maybe 3 or 4 in the second round, but by the third round, it's like a minute into the third round, he throws a double right jab and both shots connect, and like, it was like the light switch clicked for him. And if you go back and you watch the fight, I mean, it would be very easy to count the strikes because there were not that many. Mm-hmm. But the double right jab set up so much action in that fight for him. And then he would land the single jab, but he was throwing the double jab a lot. And like, they weren't talking about it at all on the commentary. And it was driving me just insane because it's like, you don't see the jab in MMA enough. And like, here's a fight where it's a super important tool and you're not talking about it at all. And that's what's setting up his left hand that he's trying to throw all night. But Stephen Thompson's getting out of the way of it, right?
Yeah.
Stephen Thompson's getting out of the way, moving to his left. And just like Till is getting out of the way of the high kick when he ducks back. But it was like,
but I think that's why
it was driving me nuts, because I felt like that was the story of the fight. For me, the whole story of the fight was the jab and the leg kicks of Darren Till. Like, second round, he throws those straight, like, oblique kicks to the, like, towards his thigh and his knee.
Yeah.
Like, and you could see Stephen Thompson did not like it. Like, he reacted to it pretty extreme when you consider what the reactions are in this fight, you know? And like, I know that damage is not a criteria, but like, he man.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I see what you're saying as far as the jazz,
it just frustrated me. It just frustrated me.
But I see, but when Thompson was coming back in with his counters, right? So say Till comes in, double jab, you know, one of those jabs land, and then when Thompson was coming back, though, he's coming back with a straight
right.
But
that's not what he was countering off of. That's not what he was landing those straight rights off of.
But you see what I'm trying to say, though?
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It's a power shot versus a jab.
No, so totally.
I think that's where Big John was trying to say.
Oh, I get what he was trying to say. Okay. I just think, like, in terms of the overall arc of the fight, I don't think it added up enough. And for Stephen Thompson, it did, because in his head, it's a fucking karate point fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, But if it's a karate point fight, like, throw a bunch of wimpy shots to his stomach and call it a day. Like, that's not what it is. It's an MMA fight, man. Like, that's what this is. And it just a little bit bothered me. I don't know. I think if they fought like 5 times, we'd probably get a very similar fight every time.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually start training together. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if Till decided to use his size and put the fight against the cage more if they fought again. Like, he tried it once in this fight. Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, that's a part of the fight. But
I
enjoyed the fight. I enjoyed it because I thought it was like really high level. It was really high level chess, and you don't see that in the UFC that much.
Yeah.
Even when you have the best guys fighting, you don't see it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And like, That's why, like, in an Anderson Silva fight back in the day, he's fighting guys who are nowhere near the striker that he was, like Anderson Silva, Chris Lieben. Like, come on, man. Like, that fight was going one way no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And so, you know, Anderson Silva, Stephen Thompson is a different fight, right? Like,
yeah.
You know,
that'd
so.
Be interesting.
I don't know.
That'd be a weird one.
I'd be interested to see what happened. I'm. I'm excited for Darren Till to get the win because he's young. He's the young up and coming guy.
I would like to see him and Usman.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Usman. Yeah.
I don't like him.
I don't like him either. He really rubs me the wrong way.
He's not fun to watch. He doesn't do anything that's like, oh man, this is the guy. Like, you know, yeah. But he talks like he is. And it's like, nah, come on, man. So well, I hope Till goes out and just sleeps that fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
See, what I respect about Till, what I like about him, he's a very stand-up kind of guy, you can tell. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you know, yeah, maybe I won whatever, but I didn't make weight. So this should not count towards whatever. He's like, give me someone else.
Did you see the video of his weight cut?
I didn't see the video. I saw a picture. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's rough. Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Shit. Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't feel good cutting weight.
But the
funny... That's everyone. It's everyone. It's either you complain or you just shut up and fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
And there's two schools of guys. I'm the guy that's like, you guys are helping me. I don't want to be a dick to you. I'm not going to be rude to you at all when I'm cutting weight. I'm the one that's miserable right now, but I'm not going to fucking show it, you know? And there's other people who are like, oh, come on, help me out, da, da, da. Fuck you, man. You put yourself in that position. You know, suck it up. If you want to make the weight, you want to fight at that weight, fucking suck it up, man. You made that decision. You signed it. And then you fucking... I'm tired of this fucking debate about the weights and the weights and this and that. Well, then fucking give us a plan. Give us an idea. Give us something. Don't just say weight cutting is terrible. Yeah, it fucking sucks. We like food, all right? You want us to fight at our natural weights? Okay, well then once we sign the contract, fucking track us. I don't know. Before we step on the scale, make us chug a bottle of water. I don't... Like, come up with something, you know?
Yeah.
Stop making excuses for these fucking assholes who fucking cry about a weight cut.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man. I've seen my friends almost die, right? And they don't fucking complain about anything. One of the worst weight cuts I've ever seen is fucking Ricky making 135. He did not complain. He doesn't fucking get pissy at anybody. He just shuts up and takes it. He's still a piece of shit, though. Just make sure we know that. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that his like one of his sponsors put the video up, and then there was all this like backlash and like, oh shit, and they pulled it down.
Dude,
everybody knows weight cuts suck, but it's like it's funny that they pull it down, and then you go watch like the Ultimate Fighter, and there's people, they show people have grueling fucking weight cuts dying on there. Just yeah,
and then you get ridiculed when you fucking give up or you don't make the weight or whatever. You get fucking shit on by everybody because everyone knows. This is part of the gig.
That's the whole reason that's the whole reason I stopped wrestling, man. I was terrible at cutting weight. It just wasn't good for me. I wrestle free weight tournaments because of it. And like as a kid, it's you know, like I just, as a young guy, I knew it wasn't good for me, you know?
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't good for me. And then as an adult, I've had fucking like, I've had a kidney infection as an adult. And all I could think is, man, thank God I didn't go through high school cutting weight wrestling. Who knows what would have happened? And like anyone who has ever cut weight knows how bad it hurts, like your organs. Like it doesn't feel good.
No, it hurts.
And then like anyone who has had a kidney infection knows how bad that hurts. And it's like, it does not tickle, man. Like,
oh, I you bet. Know,
and I it's, mean, yeah. And so it's just like, it's just, I don't like the drastic weight cuts. Like, but I'm with you. Like if you're going to do it,
go for it.
It's your call. You know what I mean? It's just like people playing the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And the whole like CTE and like,
we know the risk involved.
Yeah, man. You know the risk involved 100%, but you do it, you're doing it. Not like, I would say that 99% of those guys are doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Like obviously there's a percentage of guys who are in the NFL who are doing it because they love football.
Yeah.
But like you already have to consider they are the top 1% of all football players in the entire world.
Yep.
And there is a percentage of them that don't want to be there, but they're there for the money, or they're because that's all they've done their whole life. Right.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of people who hate football that are doing it.
Absolutely.
They're like, I'm over it, but
dude, Robert Smith, the former running back for the Minnesota Vikings, he retired super early and they were like, what the fuck, bro?
Is.
Oh my God. He was so good. He was great.
Yeah.
And he retired super early and he was just like, man, I didn't enjoy it. I'm not like a football guy. And now it's funny to see him doing college football stuff. Cause like, you've rediscovered your love for the game, I guess. But there was a time when you talk shit or like Barry Sanders walked away when he was still Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Imagine if Barry Sanders played as long as Emmitt Smith. Yeah. Emmitt Smith wouldn't be the guy we were talking about. Yeah, we still talk about Barry Sanders.
Well, the most recent one I can think of is Arian Foster. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Texans running back. Yeah, and he was just kind of like, you know what? It's hurting. It's too much.
The injuries were too much.
Like, they won't even allow me to smoke weed for my pain. I have to take these prescription pills, and you know, a lot of people have drug, you know, issues and
dependency issues for sure.
Yeah, which, you know, fuck, man. There's a risk reward value, and that's why the upper level fighters or basketball players, athletes, whatever, get paid what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sure, fighters should get paid way more. But that's why we get paid what we, you know, that's why we make the big bucks, because it's a sacrifice. It's not like.
But that's just another reason why fighters should get paid more than they
do. No, 1,000%. I'm all over that. I'm not going to be like one of these fighters like, well, but you signed the contract, so you just got to. Yeah, because we had no choice. Like, it's either you take this chunk of money or you go back down to the regional scene fighting for 2-2 if you're fucking a draw.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So. Man, there's so much shit. We can go fucking layers on this, because I'm just tired of seeing it all over Twitter and this and that. Everyone complaining about it, but no one wants to give an answer. No one wants to give any resolve to it. Everyone says, we'll add weight classes, and then someone else will combat it with, well, then more people are just going to cut more weight to make those weight classes.
Yeah.
You're
always going to have it. You're always
What does one fighting do? Or one championship.
Oh, I don't know. Their weight classes. They have some weird thing. But but they also have a very progressive guy behind the scenes there. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know.
Well, I know California is kind of on the right path. Because when I fought down there, like I said, you can't use an IV, whatever. You had to do the a weight check before the weigh-ins. Mm-hmm. You had to be at a certain weight. And then after the weigh-ins, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is better, but you're still, you could still manipulate that.
Yeah, like, of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course. But you're right. We could talk about this till we're blue in the face. Everybody knows weight cutting sucks. It's not good for you.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, people are still going to do it.
Right on, yeah.
That's the answer.
Oh, do you know what? I just want to throw this out there. Is my method or my resolution for it was, why don't we come up with some math equation where we use the height of the fighter and the width of the fighter? Because you can't change your height.
Like some sort of body mass index?
Yeah, that allows kind of you thing. And it puts you in a range with someone else. Because, you know, honestly, weight is really not that big of an advantage. Like, if I were to fight someone who's 5'9", but might be just jacked at, like, you know, it might be, a, you know, 220 jacked.
Yeah.
And I'm walking, let's say, 185. But we're both 5'9", or whatever our dimensions are.
Yeah.
I still like my odds against that guy, because I'm going to be faster, right? I still hit as hard. He doesn't, you know, his chin's not going to change. Like, you know, it's what's the big difference? Or maybe, like, strength, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but even then, like, if you're good at jiu-jitsu, you should be able to, you know, be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was my kind of thing I was playing with. So, I don't know. You think it's a shitty idea?
No, I don't think it's a shitty idea. I just think it would be way too hard to regulate. And athletic commissions like regulations because they like rules, because they want to be important. And if there weren't rules and regulations, we wouldn't need an athletic commission. So, you know, then all those people wouldn't have jobs.
I just like that one because then I can be a fat fuck.
Yeah,
because I'll tell you right now.
The fatter you get, the slower you get. You want to be, you want to be faster.
I'm fast as fuck, dude.
Nah, dude. If you got,
I feel like
super
I got
fat,
slower. I feel like I gotten slower since I went down to 55.
Well, you're gonna get slower as you get older, old man. You're gonna start getting slow.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't but you forget?
I'll tell you right now. I'll straight up fight Hector Lombard right now. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like his size, give me that motherfucker. Shit. You know, he's thick as fuck, but he's short.
Jake Smith, good with fighting Hector Lombard. Not excited about fighting
Darren Till. Don't want to fight him. Too big. He's too tall. Not in my fucking height weight.
But you're okay with fighting. You're okay with fighting Hector Lombard. But you're like, man, I don't know about that fight with what's his name?
Wonderboy? No.
Last week we talked about it. Melvin Manhoef.
Melvin Manhoef.
You're like, Melvin Manhoef is a little bit terrifying. Hector Lombard.
Well, you know, same thing. Melvin Manhoef is a short, stocky guy, right? I would fight him, you know, if I can wear whatever I wanted. I'd do it. I mean, it's scary as fuck. You know, this fucking dude in a skirt swinging at you.
Yeah, letting
like
you have it.
Like a fucking rabid dog, but all I gotta do is just jab him once on that chin, and I'm fucking winning.
You're in.
Cat. Just a little cat.
Yeah, yeah. You're in it. You're in it to win it. You know, last night, so there was a UFC last night. It was a UFC fight night, something or other.
Yeah.
And it was in Utica, New York, right?
I thought that was Canada for some reason.
No, I think it's New York.
No, I think you're right too. I just marked it up as a Canadian.
So, I mean, it wasn't like a card to write home about or anything.
Yeah.
Main event was Marlon Moraes and
Jimmy Rivera.
Rivera. Is it Riviera?
I don't know.
Man, we are really bad at last names.
CTE.
I don't have CTE. I'm old. With my old age, I'm forgetting everything.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, it's him. It was a bald guy versus a not bald guy.
Yeah, a guy with a beard versus a bald guy. But man, Marlon Moraes for 135, that dude is jacked.
Yeah, he is legit.
You talk about scary dudes. At 135, that dude is pretty scary.
He's pretty big for the weight class. He's what, 5'6", 5'7", and he's shredded.
He is yoked. Yeah. And it's not like, he's not yoked like, hey, I'm really like, I'm too big for my size. He's like, it's a good frame. If you could create like the perfect frame for a guy fighting it like that, maybe he's a little bit too muscular, but man, he looks pretty goddamn good. And he went out there first round, landed a head kick that sounded so gross.
Which head kick?
It sounded disgusting.
I think he can't fight 135 in California.
Really?
Yeah. Did I want to remember. I think after he made the weight, because they reweigh you the next day before the fight.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think he got too big.
Too big the next day.
So California issued out that next time that he...
Yeah, that's right. He has to fight up a class.
Either that or he has to get something out by like a dietitian or a doctor that says it is okay and safe for him to make this weight. Like there's an extra step he has to take now to make 135.
He just keep fighting in Vegas, New York, wherever.
But what I'm saying is it's just kind of just tagging... Tagging them together, connecting the dots. Puzzle pieces are in sync.
They're hooked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing that was interesting to me about the bald guy's win, because I can't say his fucking name.
Marlon Moraes.
I don't know why. I keep wanting to add an L to his last name.
Just say
Morales.
It like,
no, I keep saying that.
Say more eyes.
More. All right. More eyes.
There you go.
I like bald dude better, but. All right. So more eyes.
Say it like that.
More eyes.
You're like one of those people who can't say Oregon. Like you're like
Oregon. Dude, I can't say half the words. I've turned like mush mouth since getting punched in the face.
Anyway, bald guy.
Bald dude, what he does to how he set up the kick. This is something that a lot of people I think are missing. Is everyone's saying, "Oh, well he got into range cuz of the switch step and then he does the kick and
it happened really fast."
Well, if you watch the slow-mo and you can actually see his eyes. So there's two types of fighters. There's another thing that a lot of people don't know about. There's fighters that look you in the eye, and there's fighters who look you in the chest, right? Moraes looks you in the eyes. And I think that fucked with Jimmy Riviera because he was watching his eyes. And you watch him. Before he throws that kick, he stares him at the eyes. He looks down at his legs.
And gives him the look down.
Switch kick. And as he's throwing the switch kick, he's still looking at his legs. And boom, that's why it skims right over the top.
Yeah. So that kick hit, and... It sounded so gross. It was a bad sound for hitting your head. That's not a sound you want to hear.
Yeah.
And it was like right
the top.
Boom. Yeah. It was like right above his ear. And then it looked like it skips off,
mm-hmm.
but man, they showed it from another angle and it went through and like, it just cleanly continued its path. The leg kick just continued its path. That dude's head just was like sideways.
And I had him winning that fight.
You know, Moraes has had like a weird, he's had a weird go in the UFC so far, but he's so talented.
Who did
he
lose to? A Sun Tzu?
I don't remember.
I think it was a close decision to a Sun Tzu.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then, but he had the win over Dodson.
Yeah, that was like a controversial one, right?
He has a decision, but I think, you know, you're coming up to the UFC where really 135 and 125, the best guys are in the UFC. Yeah. Like there's a couple
minus
guys
Ricky.
Out there. Yo, but Ricky's there, right?
No, minus him.
Oh, you're saying take him out.
Yeah. Don't give him any love until he comes on the show.
I legitimately believe. So this is my belief in terms of, of what the UFC thinks about Ricky. I think they genuinely believe Ricky has the talent to be a champion, And part of that is I talked to a couple of people, who work with Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple of fighters, and, you know, and I heard through people at your gym that after his fight, they told him, "Hey man, we like you, get a couple more wins. We're going to have you in," essentially is what I heard.
Yeah.
But I genuinely believe that if he was a fighter that they didn't care about, they may have offered him that contract, but they value Ricky. Like, I think they really value him. And I think down the line, as he improves, I think they expect him to climb the ranks. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I mean, I'm not trying to kiss Ricky's ass. Like, well, that's just how I feel about him. Like as a fighter, even if he doesn't want to come on my old podcast, or he doesn't want to be my friend, or he thinks you and I are being too big of nerds talking about fucking Marvel Universe shit. But
which is hilarious because he plays video games all fucking day. That's all he does.
Yeah, but you know, video games are cool, right?
And he sucks at Madden. It's terrible.
I'm terrible at video games.
He's awful at all.
I'm good at one video game. It's Mario Kart. I'll take on all challengers, but that's the only game I'm good at.
I fucks with Mario Party.
I like Mario Party.
I wish. Yeah, I gotta find a way to get that somehow.
Anyway. Marlon Moraes, good win. I think that was probably the best fight of on that whole card.
Yeah.
But so something happened on that card I want to ask you
about. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So on that card, there were brothers fighting, David and Daniel Tamor. Mm-hmm. And they fought, and in both of their fights, the referee was this guy, Todd Anderson. And I didn't really have an opinion on him one way or the other going into these fights. But the earlier fight was David Tamor and Nick Lentz. And if you know anything about Nick Lentz, you know that he is a wrestler and a grinder. He has worked on his stand-up. He does have some good power shots that he can land on you. But for the most part, when you think Nick Lentz, you think wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
And the Tamor brothers are kickboxers. So, you know, like, obviously you can see where this fight where each of them want the fight to go.
Yeah.
So the fight starts out, and Tamor is really doing a good job of preventing Lentz from getting him down. But as Nick Lentz gets him against the cage at one point, he goes for a takedown, and of course Tamor grabs the cage, and takedown doesn't happen. Ref says, "Hey, get your hands out of the cage." He like reaches over and gives like a half-hearted attempt to slap his hand off the cage. And like, you know, I thought it was a little bothersome when you consider the type of fighter that Nick Lentz is, and I think referees really should take that into account. But here's where shit gets, like, unjustifiably bad to me.
Yeah.
So they're up against the cage, and David Tamor is trying to stop Nick Lentz from taking him down, and he puts his hand, flat open hand, on his face, fingers up at his eyys.
So wait, they're standing.
They're standing. Okay. Tamor's got his back against the cage.
Yeah.
And Nick Lentz is trying to lock his hands behind him. And they're, you know, he's around the waist ish. He's kind of up, you know, his head is a little high up in his chest. And Tamor's like, can't get an underhook, so he gets his arm flat and he puts his palm of his hand like right on Nick Lentz's face. Okay. But like his cheek, you know? Mm-hmm. And he gets his fingers right in his eye, and he totally like gouges his eye.
Really?
And Nick Lentz is like, "Dude, he is gouging me in the eye." And the referee's like, like he's not saying anything. Yeah. So he starts complaining more, and he's like, "Hey, close your hand out of his eye, get your fingers out of his eye." And then he fucking does it again. Yeah. Like bad enough that, you know, you can see dude's face is red. Like it's not like there's not scratches on it. You know, he wasn't like raking his eyes, but you know, I mean, he's got his fingers in the dude's eyes.
Yeah.
He's trying to take him down. It was bothering the shit out of me. So finally he stops him from doing that. When all of the sudden Nick Lentz now gets his hands around the guy and starts to take him down. And what does he do again?
Grab the cage.
Grabs the cage super hard and like literally stops a takedown, and the ref doesn't do anything. He gives him the most limp dick warning I have ever heard. Like, "Hey man, you want to not do that? Well, you probably shouldn't touch the cage." Like, are you fucking kidding me, man? Okay. As a guy who's watching fights who's not a fighter, like, it bothers the shit out of me. And I personally think, like, if you're not going to reward Nick Lentz the position on the ground,
take a point.
Take a goddamn point. Because that totally affected the outcome of that fight. I don't know how you feel about it. Well, you know? I mean, so there are people out there who are in the camp. They say, you know what? I'm grabbing the cage every time because they know the refs aren't going to take a point.
So I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so you said that this ref, he did both the brothers. Yeah, right?
and then in the second brother's fight, he's like, he's being more stern verbally, but it was almost like he heard in the back, "Hey, bro, what the fuck?" And then the next fight, he's like, "Don't get your hand to the cage. Get your hand away from the cage." And it's before the guy even grabs the cage. Okay. And so you're like, you just totally did a 180. And like, I'm glad. But the fight that you totally fucked up on, Lentz takes an L. And this is a guy, you know, the UFC is not a place where you can just take a loss.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Like maybe you can take one, but you better fucking win four.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work that way. Those days are gone. You know what I mean?
At first, I thought you were trying to say there was some fuckery, as in like he was helping out both the brothers.
No, I don't really think he was helping out both brothers. I just thought interesting that maybe it was both of them.
Maybe, okay, because a lot of times the commissions, they will just kind of whoever they have, right? It's not like we're flying in, you know, Big John or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's probably one of those local refs, right?
Well, no, I mean, he's done a bunch of UFCs.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't do a good job at your job.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have like a strong stance one way or the other about that kind of thing? Are you in the camp where it's like, "Hey, man, I'm going to grab the cage because I don't think they're going to take a point?" Or are you in the camp where you're like, "Hey, ref, before this fight happens tonight, I want you to know I'm going to be trying to take this guy down. And if he grabs the cage, I want you to be aware of it." Are you that kind of guy? Because I know there are people who will tell refs, "Hey, man, this is something I do in these fights. Please don't think that I'm doing, you know, this." Like you'll have guys that'll do setups that will make them look like maybe they're in a compromised position, you know, and they will warn refs of that.
Well, honestly, I'm in the school of you don't really talk to the ref at all. Like, you know, the ref, when he comes back and he does the whole, you know, "These are the rules, da 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 da. Do you have any questions or something?" I don't like to cross that line where maybe me talking to him might have an outcome on the fight. Like,
where
I want it to
defend him.
Well, no, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, why am I disclosing my game plan to the ref just to be like, "Hey, if I'm doing this, for sure, let it go. If I'm getting the position, let it go." Because then now that's an influence.
You're influencing the fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think, you know, sometimes people do a shitty job at stuff. And I mean, you mark it up as like, "That sucks, man." Like, you know, I get it. You can be in a bad position where like it fucks you over in the fight, but you got to find a way to either overcome that or, you know.
I know, but I look at it the same way we were talking about the judges, right? Like,
yeah,
like bad just, judging and bad referee dude, and bad referees are one
really,
and the same.
Really,
and like,
nothing we can do. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, sure. He should have took a point.
It's 100%. Just so frustrating, man. Yeah. Like, or come up with. I mean, state by state, come up with something that's like verbal warning. Like,
there's a lot of refs who are just no nonsense at all, though.
But rarely, you know. There are few and far between.
I think they all should be. I think it should be, "This is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a warning for action. If I've seen any improvements within 5 seconds, boom, standing you up."
Yeah.
Or if I see you grab the cage at all, that's a point, and then I'm going to put you in that position.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of different.
I just have a hard time with it, man. Because like you'll have people that'll be like, "Get your hand." Like, you'll hear people be like, "Oh, don't." Or they'll be like, "Get your hand off the cage." And it's like, dude, you can touch the cage.
Yeah.
You can't put your hands in the cage, but I can push off of the cage. I can push my arm against the cage, just like you can get your foot wedged in between the mat and the cage. You know what I mean? Like, if you can stretch it, fine. Mm-hmm. But man, like even if it's like incidentally grabbing the cage, but those like really obvious, like you put your fingers
where
through
it, like,
and you hold
it, yeah.
Or like you see a guy moving like the whole movement of these two men is going to the left and homeboy grabs the cage and everything moves back to the right. Mm-hmm. Like, It just blows
no,
my
I think
mind.
100% it should be an automatic. Like, you lose position,
or if you're not going to lose the position, you have to take the point.
I think both.
It just drives me fucking crazy, man.
Because I think they should get double pointed for or whatever. You should lose a point and lose a position just because. I know, like, for me personally, like, when I'm fighting, if you ever see me, like, in a clinch position or something against the cage, you will see me slide my hand up the cage flat. Like, I make sure my hand is flat. It's just something I know I'm cognizant of. I know I'm not allowed to do this, and I've always used my palm as the thing on the cage. Like, it's always in my mind that don't do this, you can't do that. You know, so it's not like fighters don't know they can't do something. It's not just a reaction.
Yeah.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, I guess, man. It just drives me nuts.
Like, no, I'm with you. I'm just saying. It's just, I think you should lose a point. Boom. Yeah. I think that should be standard.
Yeah. One of my favorite writers is Chad Dundas. He writes for Bleacher Report. And he always jokes around, calls it Dundasso. He made this shirt and it's like always cheat. And there's like a picture of a guy kicking somebody in the nuts, of a guy, you know, and it's just like always cheat, you know, that's what he calls it when they're doing that. Ah, little Dundasso. Nice. No, Dundasso. But you know, I don't know, man. It's hard. It's especially hard when you're a person who's watched the sport for a long time. You think back to like when Mark Coleman was fighting Don Fry in the UFC and he's got him against the cage and Mark Coleman is essentially holding him against the cage by holding the cage and he's throwing these uppercuts. Like Don Fry is like the wrong way against the cage and Mark Coleman is like hitting him with his uppercuts. Like, you know, those are a different time, right? But but the sport has evolved and people have evolved and that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I guess the Don Fries of the world are gone and it's, not literally, but, you know, but the kids who are fighting now know, man, like they know the rules and it's just, why can't the referees come up with a criteria, you know? It just fucking drives me nuts.
Frank Trigg, he ref'd my fight, and he was very just straightforward. He's like, listen, he's like, when it comes to your eye, if your hands are open, right, and you poke him in the eye, there's no warning. That's an automatic point deduction. He's like, I don't care. It might not be an accident. It doesn't matter. That's a point deduction. And like, he set out these rules very clearly, like, this is what's going to happen. This is that. Now you know. So it's in your mind. Like, it's not like they just kind of like, hey, well, depending on how you poked him, you know, it's not, he leaves no room for, you know,
I can appreciate that. I mean, that's the advantage.
I appreciate that too.
Advantage of having a guy who used to be a fighter, be a referee or the same thing when they're a judge, like Ricardo Almeida, when he's a judge. Like I love the fact that that guy went out and wanted to be a judge. You know, I wish more retired fighters would become referees. I think that would be great. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is Frank Trigg. Like you think about him and he is really, he's really become like a loved guy in the sport.
A lot of people didn't like him.
Huh?
A lot of people used to not like him.
A lot of people didn't like him. He talked a lot of shit and then he like beat up his girlfriend or his wife.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I just wanted to remind everybody, Frank Trigg hit his girlfriend or his wife.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, but allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly Nick Diaz broke some girl's hip. So.
Well. Allegedly.
Because he's crushing pussy. I shouldn't. That's probably not a good joke.
Oh, it made me laugh.
I don't know. That's probably going to get
trouble. Maybe I'll take that one.
No, don't take it out. I live by the sword. I die by the sword. Because I know later on in life, when they go back through like my Twitter, you know, and they start searching for stuff, I'm fucked. So I'm just going to ride it out, man. I am who I am, you know? Pop out of the sailors, man. This quote made by me.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
There was one thing I did want to ask you. Like,
yeah.
It's totally off topic before we... I don't know where we are at for time. I wanted to ask you this last week, but I didn't get a chance. So, like, out of nowhere, like, you started writing articles about me, and I don't know when you start... Like, what fight got your attention, like, with me? Because, like, you were the first guy to ever really give me, like, any love.
There wasn't like a specific fight. So for me, when I started writing, I just wanted to write about MMA, you know, like I just liked writing about MMA. And, the first place to give me an opportunity was Oregon Sports News. Mm-hmm. And, I read an article a long time ago, I think it was by Jeremy Botter. And he was like, when you get a shot with, you know, when a website says, hey man, we'll take you on, we'll let you be a writer for us, mm-hmm. be loyal to those guys and do right by them, you know, like don't just jump site to site to site. Now, obviously I have not taken my writing like national. Like I don't go to, I haven't gone to a, to like a big MMA site where I can write about like global MMA.
Yeah.
But what Oregon Sports News wanted to do was shine a light on the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And I knew that the Pacific Northwest had like a, had a very rich MMA community, mm-hmm. you know? You know, when you think about Team Quest and you think about Matt Lindland and Randy Couture and,
yeah.
you know, all those guys. And so I was like, I just started thinking like, you know, who from Oregon is fighting, you know, who's fighting around here. Yeah. And I just started like searching MMA Portland, MMA Oregon, MMA Washington. I'm just searching. Yeah. And like, and it was, I believe it was around the time that, Rose City started up.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so it actually worked out really perfectly because all these people had come together at this new gym.
Yeah.
And the first guy actually to give me an interview was Pat Healy.
Okay.
And I remember very clearly like being worried and like, is he going to respond? And I was like too afraid to be like, hey, can I call you? Or can we do this over the phone? And I would like ask people, hey, can I send you an email? Cause yeah. I was so nervous.
Yeah. I remember that.
And like, and I'm not like a nervous guy, you know, like, yeah. like that's not, I'm not shy. So it was weird, but I just had this weird thing. And so I just, you know, like, okay, Pat Healy gave me this interview. It was just like a big deal to me. And I was like, well, you know what? Like Pat Healy's cool, but I wonder who's coming up.
Yeah.
And that's when I started seeing like you and Ryan and Ricky and guys like Ben Egli mm-hmm. and, Brian Neuro and all these guys. And I just like, I started looking through like, really what happened was I started looking at all the people who had fought for the FCFF and people who, you know, people who were at certain gyms. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at people's Facebook pages and like,
oh, yeah.
I started looking for people on Twitter and like, and that's how I found you on there. And then we just, you know, I just thought we had very similar interests and I was like, you know what, this guy's my guy. Yeah. Like I'll just keep on with this dude. He was cool. Like, you know, we yeah. listened like you had a podcast and you talked about comedy and you talked about like, yeah. we were listening to similar podcasts and stuff. So I was like, you know, this guy's my guy. I'm going to fucking stick with him. And okay. so that's when I was like, I think one of the first big things that we did was, when the UFC signed CM Punk,
that was the one.
They were like, we want like a guy who's like 2-0 or like 1-0 as a pro. Yeah. And I think you were like 2-0 at the time.
Yeah, I think it was 3-0. Yeah,
yeah. And like Ryan was like 1-1 or something. I don't remember what his record was at the time. And I was like, so I had picked both you guys. Like one of these guys would be great.
Yeah,
like they should come from the Northwest. Why not? Come on, Dana White, show us some love.
Yeah,
And so that's kind of how that happened for me, where I had, you know, figured out who you were. And then same thing with Ricky, but I had, I started looking into, you know, each guy individually, like, okay, who's taking this seriously? Mm-hmm. Who's where do these guys rank essentially?
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of what happened. I mean, and that's how I met a lot of people. Yeah. And then, you know, then I started going to fights and then I met a ton of people and, you know, it gets overwhelming, but you know.
Yeah. The reason why I asked, cause I just remembered like, after like, I think of my first pro title fight or something. And, like you snapped a picture and you tagged, you're like, that's the dude. Or you said, I don't know. You said something like he's that guy or I don't know. You said
whatever. Some shit.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, I kind of wanted to know like when, you know, I like knowing things like this.
Yeah. So yeah. It was just a matter of I wanted to show the Pacific Northwest the right respect, and you guys had that gym going and it was just like everything was kind of like coming together at the right time. Yeah. And then no sooner than I kind of met everybody in person for mm-hmm. the first time, it was literally like the same week that Rose City closed the doors. Yeah. And I was like, shit, yeah. man, that
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And like, but it was kind of cool because that was the first time I got to hear any like inside baseball stuff, you know, like for anyone who does who writes about MMA or any sport for that matter, when you get a chance to befriend an athlete mm-hmm. or when you get a chance to kind of see behind the curtain a little bit, it's really cool, right? Because it's like this secret that you have, like that you can't tell anybody. You know, there's things that I've heard that I would never report.
Yeah, there's
you
a
know,
lot
there's,
of stuff.
There's stuff like you know immediately. Okay, this is off the record.
Yeah.
Like without them telling you it's off the record, you know it's off the record.
Yeah,
and so like just the just the stuff that happened when everybody was starting to go over to Gracie Baja, mm-hmm. like just hearing people talk about it and hearing what people were saying. Like, yeah. like, you know, I remember hearing one person in particular, like, well, if they think I'm walking onto the mat and I'm going to bow to somebody and da da da, like they got another thing coming. And I was just like, I'm just thinking like, man, you guys are so fucking funny. But yeah. you know, or like, I had a buddy who showed up at a local show, and he happened to be sitting by a bunch of guys from Gracie Baja, and they were all talking shit about some fighter.
Okay.
Did you know that these guys don't like that guy?
Yeah,
I was like, I did know that they don't like that guy. That, fun fact, you know, that happens.
I wonder who that could be.
But it was just funny, you know? It was just funny. Yeah. And
all right. That's cool. Yeah, I was just curious, like, what was the you know.
Yeah, that was what it was. And then, you know, and then obviously we are just like-minded dudes, and
yeah,
it just worked out.
Yeah, like the first time I think me and you actually really talked was actually at Ricky's title fight for Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when
I... Do you remember what we talked about?
Yeah, and you were spot on. spot on what happened. I was like, fuck.
Yep. That guy had one chance, and that's what happened.
We don't need to bring that up. Anyways, yep. So, yeah, all right. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Yeah, we could talk about UFC 225 a little bit. That's next weekend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what... Okay, so you actually wrote an article about the placement of the card, and because there's been a lot of things going around about Megan Anderson and Holly Holm actually getting the main card over Aleister Overeem versus Curtis Blaydes.
Well, and there's a lot of talk about CM Punk being on the main card and people not liking it, which obviously people don't like that CM Punk is on the main card. Yeah. Like, I get it, but you know what? His name is CM Punk. Do you know what that stands for? Chicago made punk. That's his thing. He is a Chicago guy through and through. Nobody is as big a Chicago guy as CM Punk, except for maybe my friend and mentor, Mick Betancourt. Other than that, CM Punk is like second to none. This dude loves that town. And he, he's going to be a draw for them. If not just on the pay-per-view locally, a lot of people are going to come to that card just to see him.
Yeah. Okay. Like, well, all right. So I had no idea about the Chicago made punk.
Yeah, totally.
I never even thought anything about his abbreviation.
That's what it is. That's what it is. But I, you know,
only way I saw it was like, oh, he was a big draw in, you know, the WWE. And
you know, I thought he would be a bigger draw in the UFC. They did that whole series where they followed him around for a week or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, it was pretty cool, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, obviously,
it's a freak show.
Mickey Gall was a bad matchup for him and worked him. But that I was looking back at the numbers and that pay-per-view did draw pretty well, mm-hmm. but it only did like 425,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like the goal, like the where you want to be is 1 million buys, right?
Yeah.
But like that's like GSP status. There's not a lot of guys that can get you there. But you know, 425,000, not bad. You look at the card. The card wasn't like the greatest card ever. However, you know, so maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it will be hard to say that with this card because this is a really good card and it has a really good title fight at the top. So people are kind of,
you know, I was surprised at. Actually, I wasn't surprised. I don't know why I said that. What I was getting at is actually the reason why I want to buy the card, to be honest, is to see CM Punk. Like, isn't funny. That kind of weird? Like, that's the fight I am interested in. I know they're both garbage, right? I don't know his name. Something
Mike Jackson.
Mike Jack. Fuck him, first off. Because he thinks he's the shit right now, and he's trying to make, like, all this.
He's also 0-1, isn't he?
Yeah, he got beat up by Mickey Gall, too. And, you know, if you go to his Twitter and stuff, he tries to, like, act like, oh, if you want to see me at an event, pay for this and that, da-da-da. He's getting too big for his britches. He doesn't realize he's not, you're getting brought in to lose. They hope you lose this fight. Mm-hmm. But I just want to see what the development is different. You know, it's a train wreck. I want to, you know, can't look away. That's my thing.
I think there are a lot of fighters. I don't think a lot of them openly say it, but I think there are a lot of people that respect the shit out of him for doing what he's doing.
Yeah. Hats off for trying.
Man,
definitely
39 years old. Like, you know, he was literally like the guy mm-hmm. in the WWE. Like, he held the title longer than anyone ever. He like, Like yeah. he really changed the game over there at a time when things were really bad. Like I wasn't into wrestling for that window. Mm-hmm. And he had this weird moment where he basically did like a shoot interview.
Yeah.
And just
sat in the ring,
sat
right?
down. He
yeah.
said, he said all kinds of shit that people yeah. are not supposed to say yeah. and made a huge fan of me. And then he quit. And walked away. He yeah. just left. Yeah. Like
that guy has character,
dude. Not only that, but like he's the only guy. Like he comes in and he's the only guy who they bought music for. He wanted Cult of Personality to be his song. They were like, "Fine, you can have it. We'll pay for the royalties. We'll pay wow. for the rights." Everybody else, the WWE has people who produce their music for yeah. them.
Like, I had no idea.
Yeah. So it's like you know they really liked him and they wanted him to stick around and, you know, hats off to him. You know, this is something he wanted to do and he decided to give it a try. I think it's cool. But
do you know what?
For this card, he's on the main card. Yeah. That means there are 1, 2, 3, 4 other slots on this main card. And right now, as it stands, it's Robert Whittaker, Yoel Romero, Rafael Dos Anjos, Colby Covington, Holly Holm and Megan Anderson, Andre Arlovsky and Tia Tuivasa, and then CM Punk and Mike Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, okay. First
now,
of all,
let's look at the prelims. What do we got there?
So here's where it gets weird because yeah. the prelims are stacked. Like the prelims are really good. So we'll start at the Fight Pass prelims. Fight Pass prelim main event is Rashad Evans and Anthony Smith. So Anthony Smith has been pretty up and down.
Always exciting, though.
Always exciting. Rashad is still Rashad Evans. He's still former world champion.
Yeah.
He's coming back. Like, granted, he hasn't looked great, yeah. but he's still Rashad Evans. Like, you put him on FS1 at least, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not bothered by him being on the Fight Pass portion all that much, only because of where he's at. Like, look, you're at a point where the UFC is saying, shit or get off the pot. If you can't yeah. win, you're done. Right. So we'll feed you this kid who has proven he can win, but he can also be beat. Right.
Yeah.
So you have a chance.
It's back at 205, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you have this one just baffled my mind. I could not believe it. You have Joseph Benavidez coming back. He's still like
top three.
Number one or two ranked flyweight in the world. And he's fighting little Pettis, Sergio
yeah.
Pettis.
Yeah.
Like, so you have Baby Pettis and you have Joe B. Mm-hmm. Like you have and Sergio Pettis is for sure number 5 on the rankings. You have two guys who are potential title challengers to Mighty Mouse, a guy you are like dying to have people fight him.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Joseph Benavidez has had his chance and he hasn't pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
But like his wins are so impressive. You go back and you look at what he's done. I mean, I think it's what did he have? He had he's only lost to two people ever. He lost two fights to Mighty Mouse,
mm-hmm.
and he lost two fights to Dominic Cruz.
Yeah,
like you're talking about a guy who's only not been able to beat two world champions, one who's in a different weight class than you.
Yeah,
like you come back from this you know long layoff, but you had won like four fights in a row or something, and it was like. He had fought. I mean, he's fought all the guys who Mighty Mouse has beat. Like, you're not going to give these guys a shot on the main card because realistically, they are going to like if Joseph Benavidez beats Sergio Pettis and does it convincingly, mm-hmm. he's calling out Mighty Mouse. What else yeah. does he have to do?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean,
you're going to call Mighty Mouse on the Fight Pass card.
He did just lose to Cejudo, but. Other than that, yeah, I mean, who has he not beat, you know? Did he ever fight Tim Elliott?
Who's
Pettis?
That?
Pettis?
No, I don't think so, but...
That'd be a good fight.
But what's his name did and beat him?
Benavidez, yeah, he got him with that choke, and he had to tap mm-hmm. out with his feet.
Yeah.
It's that's a fight I definitely think should have more attention. More attention than, I'd say, than, like, Carla Esparza versus Gedalia.
Claudia Gadelha yeah. and Carla Esparza. Yeah. So, yeah.
In my opinion, but you know.
So, but the rest of the Fight Pass prelims, the next fight is Clay Guida and Charles Oliveira.
Mm-hmm.
Two pretty well known dudes.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with them being on that, even though realistically, make them the first fight on the FS1 card and people are going to watch because there's a chance that it'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. It's going to go one of two ways. It's going to be a super boring Clay Guida fight or a really exciting Clay Guida or Oliveira fight. Like, you know, those guys.
Yep.
Those guys can finish fights. And then there's a couple of dudes. Nobody knows who they are.
I mean, it's just so stacked. It's kind of hard to say. Like, maybe, you know, because I don't think the Arlovski versus...
I have a big problem with. You put Arlovski and Tuivasa on the main card, and I get it. I get it. You're like, okay, you're saying to this young Hawaiian kid, 9-0, like, here's your shot. Beat Arlovski.
Yeah, that's
on the come up.
Yeah.
But on the FS1 prelims, you have Curtis Razor Blades fighting on Alistair Overeem.
Yeah.
And those, so, like, Overeem is always a contender. Like,
so my thing with that is, like, because I know Overeem has on his contract pay-per-view buys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of his thing, right? Regardless of, you know, whatever. So... I think that might have a little bit to do with why he's on the FS1 because there's too many people. Because you got to think. So Kobe Covington and Junior RDA,
Dos Santos.
Yeah, RDA are fighting for the interim.
See, right? I didn't even know it was for an interim title.
So it's interim title. So automatically for champions and championship, they get a cut of pay-per-view. Same thing, Rob Whitaker and Yoel, cut of pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you throw an Overeem up there, cut of pay-per-view, that's too many pies. And of course, CM Punk's also going to get cut of the pay-per-view. Like,
I think
I think
CM Punk gets a... I want to say he gets a flat rate because he got paid hefty.
But he still could have a pay-per-view thing in it.
Maybe.
You know, that's something that's not really disclosed to a lot of people.
Yeah, but then...
That's just my little, like, maybe... I'm trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, so if even if you... But even if you leave Alistair Overeem off the card, there are so many fights you can put on there, man.
No, like, I'm 1,000% with you.
Like, dude, Ricardo Lamas and Mirstad Bektik, are you kidding me? Like, that's going to be an amazing fight.
You know, sometimes it's just too many good fights to...
I guess, but then you have Holly Holm and Megan Anderson, and I... Look, I am a noted Holly Holm supporter, and I do like Megan Anderson. Like I love watching people from Invicta make it to the UFC. I think it's great.
Yeah,
like I think that's just the best thing ever because there's this awesome organization that is promoting part of the sport that gets kind of left in the dark a little bit sometimes, and then they get to the UFC, and you're just like, hot damn, all right, I love that. Like I just, you know, it makes me happy. But Holly Holm has not been been in very many exciting fights, and I was the biggest Holly Holm supporter.
Do you know what
the
UFC, they're doing?
It's been
so
average.
They're treating Holly Holm like fucking Sakuraba.
Kinda right.
It's really fucked up.
But
like,
you know
you killed our star. Check this out.
Yeah, you know I guess. I mean? But the thing about Sakuraba is like he beat many Gracies.
Oh yeah.
You know, versus
but what I'm saying is like, so let's be honest, Holly Holm should not be fighting at 45. She shouldn't. She doesn't have the power. She's been rocked there several times. She's getting damaged unnecessarily. Like she's fighting these girls who are just bigger than her. Like she's like an in betweener, I would say.
Yeah.
And
Megan Anderson is not.
Megan Anderson's, you know, she's a big chick. Someone posted a highlight of one of her early fights, and she got like head and arm by this girl who's awful. And I haven't really watched much of Megan Anderson, but if she looks anything like that little clip that I saw of her, the way she fights, she needs to stop.
She has moments in
fights. I feel like she has a little bit more hype around her than what she's deserving. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, maybe. The problem is 145 is super weak. Like there are not that many great 145 pound lady fighters out there. It's just the way it is. I mean, that division is the thinnest.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not.
There's literally like five girls in the weight class.
Yeah, it's just not an incredible weight class. And it just so happens that the best female fighter on the planet is a 145 pound fighter, and that sucks for her because if she was a 135 pound fighter, she'd be one of the biggest stars on the planet. You know, and it's unfortunate. I'm not like a huge Cyborg fan personally, but her fights are incredible. You know, I mean she's super dominant, and while Megan Anderson has moments and fights where you look at her and you're like, oh man, she could beat anybody.
Really?
It's going to be different
when
you fight Cyborg. That's just what it is. I mean,
someone who's strong can eat a punch and is going to eat your punch to give you a punch. That's scary for a lady.
And she's going to hit harder than anyone who's ever hit you.
Yeah.
Like for sure. Like, I mean, that's I mean, I'm not taking away the fact that I'm sure Megan Anderson has trained with like big dudes at a gym who have hit her, you know, like you're training, but like in a for real, real fight, when the door closes, no competitor you've been against has hit you as hard as Cyborg's going to hit you. I just don't believe that. But I don't think Holly Holm and Megan Anderson need to be on the main card. I'm guessing they're on the main card because the winner is going to probably get a shot against Cyborg.
Oh yeah. 100%. Either that or they're whoever, you know, they're waiting in line.
I would just rather the car be set up a little bit differently. This isn't a dig at Colby Covington, but he's like, he's got some decisions as of late, and like he hasn't been,
he's just talking.
Yeah, he talks a good game, and he put himself in a good position. And you know, shout out to the Oregon product. You know, like he's an Oregon guy, so like, you know, I'll support that because I'll support Pacific Northwest Fighters. I will, but
see, that's where
like,
you and I differ.
Just need to. He just needs to fucking tone it back a little bit, man.
Oh, dude,
like
just, but it's working because I'm gonna be honest. Like, if it wasn't for him talking, I wouldn't know who Colby Covington is. I don't think I've ever seen him fight.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, that's how disinterested I am in him. Like, I maybe have come across his fights and it was just so boring. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's had some all right moments. I feel like he believes he's more dominant than he is.
Yeah.
And I think RDA is as strong as he can be is at 170 pounds. That's the right weight class for him. I know he had the 155 title, but like let's be real. 170 is where he needs to be. And you know, I don't know. I'm not as excited for that fight as I want to be. So I would rather have Joseph Benavidez and Sergio Pettis on this main card than have Arlovsky and Tuivasa. Like, I get it. Most people don't want to watch little guys fight, but I personally love it. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that has the potential to be a good fight.
You know, and I don't think Holly Holm and Megan Anderson need to be on this main card. I would much rather have Alistair Overeem and Curtis Blaydes. And if, okay, and like, even if you take them off and you say, he can't be there because of the, you know, because of the pay-per-view thing, then fine. You can put on Ricardo Lamas and Mirstad Bektik, or you can put on, you could put on a number of these fights on there. And it's a weird one. It's a weird one, right? Like, some people say that it's a very balanced card. I still take issue with it, but you know, it no matter how you slice it, it's a good card.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see Robert Whittaker, Yoel Romero too. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see if Yoel Romero has learned anything from his loss to Whittaker. Like, are you going to bring a different game plan, or are you going to do the same thing? Because if you do the same thing, you're going to lose.
What's interesting to me is I wonder if Yoel's going to not necessarily shock the world, but there's a thing where I don't know how to say it. It's like not history, but I guess, okay, maybe history is showing that when a young champion has beat an older opponent 9 out of 10 times or 9.9 times out of 10, the younger fighter will win the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every time that's been shown and shown again. But Yoel is that special guy where I think he can beat Whittaker.
Well, I think he can beat just about anybody on the goddamn planet.
So I don't know if that
from heavyweight
rule,
on down, he's a terrifying specimen.
From heavyweight, damn.
Yeah, dude, he could knock out a heavyweight.
You think so?
You don't think he could knock out a heavyweight?
I don't know, man. He's a big dude.
I feel like his power is gonna translate, dude. Like,
but
like, what's he walk around at? 220 pounds?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, my point is just, you know, I think he's that guy who can defy the odds. You know, so. I think Yoel might pull this one off. Cause especially because, you know, Whittaker had a long layoff.
He's
been hurt.
That's true.
So
a little ring rust.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, that's not exist. That doesn't exist.
Dominic Cruz will tell you that ring rust isn't real. That doesn't apply.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, fuck off. Totally applies.
Yeah. Getting shocked for walking into a cage again. Like, that's scary shit when you haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, and the other thing is, like, you already had to stand across from Yoel Romero once. Like, probably don't want to do that twice.
Yeah, like, you know you're in for 25 minutes.
Yeah, right? Well, or you're just, there's always a chance that, man, he's going to snipe you with some crazy
flying knee or something.
Yeah, or he's going to do some, like, monstrous belly-to-back suplex, and he's going to do a backflip and land on top of you and just start throwing elbows. Like, you don't know what's going to happen with that animal.
He's got that immigrant mentality, cocksucker.
Yeah, he does. He's crazy. He's crazy. But it'll be a good card. It'll be a good card. Hey, I want to ask you about one last thing before we get out of here. You've been a little bit vocal about it, so I just wanted to hear your opinion on it. Yair Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say earlier, Yair needs to take a little, you know, little notes from fucking CM Punk and stand your damn ground, man. Like, that shows you right there the power and the monopoly of the UFC. Because this guy...
That he came back?
Yes. That he had to... I heard he had to renegotiate his contract or something where he was making less and he had to take the fight anyways. Like some bullshit like that. Huh. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. But my thing is, if you're going to make a stand, regardless what it is,
yeah,
I think you got to see it out. You got to see it through. Like maybe, okay, maybe these other organizations are not going to, they're not going to hype you up as much as the UFC is, or, you know, you might not get as much attention, but if the money is there, the money is there. Right. So, mm-hmm. Either you're in this for fortune and fame, or you're in this sport to make your money and provide for your family, right?
Right.
I mean, an example: Dustin Poirier. He said, you know, fuck the belts, fuck, you know, all the press, fuck all the media. He's like, I just want to fight wherever I can to provide for my family and make my money. And I guarantee you, Yair was able to make more money in another organization if he would have stood his ground. I guarantee he got offers. I fucking guarantee it. Hmm. But there's something that frightened him to go, but then I won't be, you know, as big of a star. I won't get this money, you know.
Won't be in the UFC.
Yeah. Like there's a stigma with the UFC. And I think the UFC's powers, they abused him a little bit. They backed him to a corner. They said, oh, okay, you don't want to take this fight. You don't want to risk, you know, whatever you've accomplished, because he's not a ranked fighter and doesn't deserve a top 10 yet. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think.
But how do you feel about him turning down multiple fights? Does that bother you?
But did he turn down multiple fights?
Yeah,
I heard he didn't.
Well, they say
that's what the UFC says. But then I hear from him where he's coming out and he's saying no, that's not the case. He said I accepted whoever it was they wanted to fight, and then they give him to someone else.
I really wish we could have it all on, you know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
Only person that really knows is the UFC and
Rodriguez.
But see, I believe him more than UFC because we have the UFC has been shown to lie.
Yeah, well, Dana White especially is a liar.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I knew they weren't going to let him go. I mean, it's crazy. You don't let a guy who's 6-1 in your organization go, and his only loss is to Frankie Edgar, one of the best ever. You know, like
which he took a beating, right? So he should have been allowed to take some time off. That's another thing too. The UFC is doing.
You know why I think they did it?
What
is? I don't think he registered with fans the way they expected him to.
With the whole Mexican and
exactly. Because when you think about the two biggest stars to come out of the UFC, like in Mexico, it's Eric Perez, who doesn't fight for the UFC anymore.
He doesn't?
No.
What happened to that fucking
Combat
guy?
Americas or something. Some Latin-based one, you know?
Okay.
But, and the other one is...
Fabricio Verdum?
Is Fabricio Verdum. he's not even from Mexico.
Yeah. Like, just because he speaks Spanish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, really? Like... I just don't believe that they thought he would ever be as marketable as they expected him to be.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, you love or hate his style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people either love it or they hate it. And I don't think they believe that he'll ever have like the movement of TJ Dillashaw or Dominic Cruz or to a lesser extent Cody Garbrandt. You know, I don't think they expect that of him. I think they expect exciting fights out of him. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think they want him to
be more like Dustin Poirier. Like, I think they want him to be more like Eddie Alvarez. They want him to be
more gritty.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because they, more than anything, they need those guys to sell pay-per-views.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and to sell cards.
That's what people want to see. It's chaos.
Yeah, they want to see that chaos, right? Or the Justin Gaethjes of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like
the idiots.
That guy is going to die somewhere.
Well, I mean, he's given himself a certain amount of numbers. So, I mean, more power to his CTE. I just think the UFC is a bully, man, in the sport. And I don't think enough people care. That's what bums me out. Because as a fighter, you got to look at your own future, at your own, you know, your own worth. And to have a company like the UFC where they are this monopoly – It affects a lot of us. Like either you're playing complete ball with them, not you can't think about your career, your safety, your health. It's we're this money making machine. Either you're on board or you're out.
Yeah, you're with us or you're against us, kind of thing.
And you know,
but you know what? It's times they are a changing, and people at Bellator are doing the right things. And the kind people, of, yeah. No, they yeah. are, man, because yeah. they are investing in the youth of the sport.
That's true.
And the UFC is not doing that.
Yeah.
The UFC is not investing in the youth of the sport.
No, Bellator has thinking now.
Yeah, they are. They're yeah. thinking now. And Bellator has house shows that yep. you don't see on TV where they're signing young fighters. They're signing young guys mm-hmm. like they're signing like young guys like Sunshine, who,
yeah.
you know, if the UFC had interest in, you know, Sunshine, Chris Williams, like
yeah.
what they would have said was, okay, you're a 2-0, 3-0 fighter. We want you to go to this promotion and this promotion and get wins here and get wins here mm-hmm. and, you know, come back when you're 9-0 or come back yeah. when you're 8-2 or come back when, you know what I mean? They want you to be seasoned because they're going to throw you in there to the walls.
Yeah,
they don't care about your development because they don't want to invest in you.
Yeah.
But Bellator is investing in young fighters and they're saying, we care about you and we want you to be the future stars of this sport.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, they're like looking at his personality.
And obviously, like, okay. you're established more than some of the younger guys that get signed, right?
Yeah.
But they're willing to put their money behind guys like Aaron mm-hmm. Pico. They're willing to put money behind these guys. Where you don't think the UFC was Aaron Pico's first choice, like yeah. initially?
Yeah.
Like you think as this young kid, he didn't want to go to the UFC? Of course he did. But Bellator was like, hey, this guy. Is a yeah. future champion.
He's like, no, this guy's a phenom.
And they're like, let's yeah. go knock on his door and let's back a truck up and give him way yeah. more money than the UFC's going to give him.
Yeah.
And it's not even a lot of money now. You know that the money down the line is going to be way more valuable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they're investing in the youth of the sport. So give it 3 more years or so, because mm-hmm. I said last year that in 4 years you're going to start seeing a shift. Because give it 3 more years. Like Dana White's going to slowly distance himself from the UFC because he doesn't have to be there anymore since mm-hmm. they sold.
Yeah.
Like the guys behind the scenes that were there before are going to slowly start disappearing. Like you're going to see it on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And if this ESPN deal that they just signed, and they did sign the rest of the deal, so everything is through ESPN.
Yeah.
They signed that whole deal. They're going to go away from Fox. Like if that works, mm-hmm. they will stay. You know what I mean? But yeah. if it doesn't, they won't. And ESPN is not a company as of late who has been doing very well.
No,
so
really.
This is a big swing for them.
Wow.
This is a, hey, we need to try to make a big splash somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Dude, because they spent so much money for Monday Night Football. Ridiculous amounts of money. They spent a lot of money to put on the shows that they put on. Well,
they invested like $1.5 billion for
yeah.
the UFC.
Yeah, so. Dude. The billions are being tossed around. So can I have like 1%?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll
be a 0.5%. Fuck.
You know what I mean? What's Chael getting paid for this show with Ariel? Like
I haven't even talked to him about it. I don't even know the dynamics of that, which is going to be interesting too, because now the UFC is on ESPN. Chael's in Bellator, one of the biggest draws in Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
So now is ESPN going to, and he works for ESPN. So it's kind of like, okay, well now we're promoting, you know, cause ESPN has to talk about Bellator, right? They have to cover all, aspects
have to.
Well, I mean, come on.
I think they will.
So is that going to be a conflict of interest? Or is there something later on in the line where...
Well, ESPN is the captain of conflict of interest, bro. Like,
are they? I don't know.
Yeah, man.
I don't really watch much ESPN.
Yeah, they pay money to put the sports on that are on. So, of course, they're going to talk about the sports that they pay money for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're going to way hype Monday Night Football more than they're going to hype...
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The hey, we've got a baseball game on later. Like, come on, man. Like, let's be real. But
it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I my hope for all this in the end, just my ending statement, is we get to a point where we can actually do co-promotions. That's what I would like. I prefer we didn't have this singular contract. You're stuck to this group and that's it.
Yeah, more like boxing.
Yeah, you know, which a lot of people have problems with as well. But I think...
perfect.
There's yeah, but I hope we get closer to that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm kind of a realist, man, and like I don't understand people who think there's going to be this like perfect answer.
No, there's not.
no, you know, it's just like with politics. It's just like with politics, right? Like the right thinks that they are the absolute, they have the right answer, and the left thinks they have the right answer. But realistically, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. But nobody wants to find where that middle ground is, because if I give up too much, I step too far over. Oh well, shut up. Yeah. Same thing. But
who knows?
Well, on that high note, we'll say thank you to Core Water, this Core Hydration here. Great product. Perfect pH. I love it. Gets me juiced. Gets me all excited to come in here and talk shit with Jake. And, you know,
it's quite refreshing.
I'm starting to run out. Hit me up, guys.
Yeah. Me too. I need some.
Anyway. If you're interested in hitting Jake Rye up on social media, please do. You can find Jake on all social media at Uber Smitty. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook, at David Golden MMA. Yeah, man, we'll be there to talk to you if you want to start talking some smack.
Make sure you guys are subscribing, please, and rating.
Yeah, subscribe, rate, and review. That would be sweet. Share it with a friend. You know, tell them to listen. We need to pay somebody to make us a better logo. So come on, hook us up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess that'll do it for this week. We'll talk to y'all next time.
Peace.